Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that God gave to Joseph Hedgecott, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, many years ago. God said, I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit it never fulfilled that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time. Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him and grow up in Him. Today I'll be speaking about lowliness of mind. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. I'm reading the book of Philippians, chapter 2, starting in verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if there any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. Verse 2. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each one esteem others better than themselves. The phrase lowliness of mind in Strong's is number 5012. It comes from a compound of other words meaning humiliation of mind. That is modesty, humbleness of mind, humility of mind, or lowliness. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Philippians 2, 1-3 says, so by whatever appeal to you there is in our mutual dwelling in Christ, by whatever strengthening and consoling and encouraging our relationship in Him affords, by whatever persuasive incentive there is in love, by whatever participation in the Holy Spirit we share, and by whatever depth of affection and compassionate sympathy, fill up and complete my joy by living in harmony and being of the same mind and in one purpose, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one harmonious mind and intention. Do nothing from factional motives, through contentious strife, selfishness, or for unworthy ends, or prompted by conceit and empty arrogance. Instead, in the true spirit of humility, lowliness of mind, let each regard the others as better than and superior to himself, thinking more highly of one another than you do of yourselves. Esteem and be encouraged by those who have learned and paid a price to get an answer instantly on the narrow way, seeking righteousness. You will not be in harmony with the true body of Christ otherwise. And Jesus said in John chapter 14 verses 1 to 4. I'm reading John's Gospel chapter 14 starting in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Verse 4, and whither I go, ye know, and the way you know. You can have a mansion now or later, the fruit of the Spirit in abundance, on the narrow way is a sign someone is running a good race. Do not strive for any goal with human strength and power, trying to impress others with earthly gain. God provides his power and authority to represent him in complicated situations as his ambassador following Christ. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. This is in the book of Romans chapter 12 and reading verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. In the book Sound Doctrine, in section 3, on sound doctrine for the home, in chapter 14, Husbands, Love Your Wives, on page 167 to 168, Joseph Hedgecott writes, if you really want to know God, I will give you a key that will help you. To obey what God says is going to require a lot of instructions, and it will require you to ask questions from time to time. When he commands you to do something, you can ask him any question as long as you don't question him. That's important. I have learned this the hard way. For you to question God's decisions, you have had to judge his decision as wrong. For you to have judged his decision as wrong, you had to first put yourself above God, because judgment can only come from above. It never comes from below. That's God's order. Whether you intended it to be that way or not, God sees it as you having usurped authority over him. Usurping authority is exactly what causes the fall of man. The original fall began when Satan questioned God in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. Adam and Eve listened to Satan questioning God's command rather than obeying what God had said. If God had commanded the angels to do something and they needed more information, they could have asked a question. But Lucifer tried to usurp authority over God. Because of that, he was thrown out of heaven and he came down to earth full of wrath because he lost his high position. If you question God, you are not sober-minded. You will lose your relationship with God too. Learn to hear God first in every area before you start thinking. Use the gift of eternal life to ask God more questions. Anything that you think or do that brings you out of the presence of God is wrong. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 8, I'm reading verse 2. If any man think that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. Your mind needs to be sound before you make conclusions about the spiritual life and how it works. You do have grace to think, seeking righteousness, and ask God genuine questions with the gift of eternal life. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 to 20. This is Philippians chapter 3, and reading verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Verse 19. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Living Bible, Philippians 3:17-21 says, dear brothers, pattern your lives after mine and notice who else lives up to my example. For I have told you often before, and I say it again, now with tears in my eyes, there are many who walk along the Christian road who are really enemies of the cross of Christ. Their future is eternal loss, for their God is their appetite. They are proud of what they should be ashamed of. And all they think about is this life here on earth. But our homeland is in heaven, where our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, is. And we are looking forward to his return from there. When he comes back, he will make these dying bodies of ours and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same mighty power that he will use to conquer all else everywhere. Those preoccupied about this world are going to be left behind. Thinking is dangerous. Doubts will appear about taking up your cross daily if you're thinking too much about this earthly life. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. This is in Colossians chapter 3. I'm reading verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Verse 3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Your mind should be fixed on things above, not on things below. You are only spiritual up to the level you do not take over the lordship on the narrow way for the sake of something temporal. James said in James chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. This is in the book of James chapter 2. I'm reading verse 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Our covenant is based on better promises, but faith without repentance from dead works is misdirected, dead and lifeless. You were given faith to live on the narrow way. To obey God instantly without thinking, you need faith. If you cannot obey God instantly without analyzing what God said, your faith is dead or impure in that area. Those who have repented of dead works and live by faith rely on God to direct them in all areas. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 8. This is in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. I'm reading verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Verse 8. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. In the Living Bible, Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 7 and 8 says, do not be conceited, sure of your own wisdom. Instead, trust and reverence the Lord and turn your back on evil. And when you do that, then you will be given renewed health and vitality. Leaning to your understanding is bad for your health. You need faith that God is who he says he is. To hear his voice consistently and obey. God will direct your paths when you purpose in your heart to acknowledge him in all your ways. You do not need to pray for God to direct your paths in Jesus' name. Those who fear God do not make decisions with their own mind. The devil cannot destroy you, but you can become a prisoner through getting puffed up and wise in your own eyes. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23, this is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. I'm reading verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Do not deceive yourself. The gifts of the Spirit will operate without denying yourself and taking up your cross daily. The devil relies on you deceiving yourself that you know God deeply based on ministry. Those who know God intimately can ask God a question on any subject and get an answer on the narrow way. The gifts of the Spirit are never the sign of maturity, but the fruit of the Spirit is. The devil wants to keep you comfortable with a low level of maturity so you believe you are on the narrow way and stop seeking righteousness. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'm reading verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Doctrines in the church today are not sound, because leaders are using their minds to come to the truth. They quickly depart from the truth after being convicted and corrected. Jesus is the truth. If you do not like truth and conviction, you are not following Jesus. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verses 4 to 8. I'm reading the book of Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. Verse 6. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Verse 7. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. In the book My Sheep Hear My Voice, 2021 edition, in chapter 9, on trees in the garden, on page 103, Joseph Hedgecott writes, when you are unselfish, you put the needs of others before your own. You trust God to meet your needs. In the tree of life, you abide in God's presence and produce the fruit of the Spirit. You enjoy love, joy, patience, peace, revelation from God, habits of obedience, and righteousness. If you're on the narrow way, you will put your own needs last, as Christ did. God will provide for what you need. On the narrow way, it's not wrong to think of yourself as equal in rank to God. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 to 7. This is in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Verse 6. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. God knows you need that connection with God to live by faith. Jesus used his ability to hear God all the time, obeying his Father, going to the cross. You are raised up and seated with Christ in heavenly places so that you can ask God questions you need to ask with the gift of eternal life. Equality with God was not so you could command the angels or hear God for others and tell them what to do. Everyone needs to hear God for themselves. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6, verse 16. This is in the book of Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or obedience unto righteousness. In the book Wake Up Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 12 on Practical Applications, on page 182, Joseph Hitchcock writes, the belief that you're automatically in Christ simply because you are born again is a false doctrine. When you are born again, two natures are present in you, the nature of Christ and the carnal nature, the flesh. Romans 6:16 explains the nature you are in is based on who is controlling you. Do not listen to someone who says you're automatically righteous just because you're born again. The blessings come when you abide in Christ, not when you visit Christ. Humbling yourself, confessing your sin, puts you in Christ. But that does not keep you there. Lowliness of mind keeps you abiding in Christ through obedience to the Spirit in the small things. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 and 34. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. I'm reading verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Any form of communication with God is valid when you are seeking His kingdom and His righteousness. You can even use trial and error, doing something that is not contrary to His written word, and then see what happens. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. I'm reading verse 5. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch, using trial and error, was seeking righteousness over the entire period of his life and learned what pleased God. By the Spirit, learned to hear God clearly on the narrow way and pray about what clothes to wear. A few times I even asked what trouser leg to put on first. You may need to ask God some small detail at a critical time. Joseph Edgecott, the author of the book My Sheep and My Voice, was traveling on a major trip to about 10 countries in Europe. The tag to pull the zip on his small soft case came off in his hand a few minutes before he had to leave. His bag was packed and ready, so he tied a piece of string to the bag where the tag broke. Beforehand, he prayed about how long a piece of string he needed and tied this to his bag. It looked untidy, so he folded it to make it look reasonable. 6 weeks later, this piece of string was just what we needed to stop bandits coming on the train using sharp knives to open a small latch on the inside door of our train compartment. We were saved by a piece of string. John wrote in 1 John chapter 2, verses 26 and 27. This is 1 John chapter 2, starting verse 26. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it is taught you, ye shall abide in him. Abide in him when others in the church are telling you to use your mind to make decisions yourself. If the Spirit is coming upon you to assist you to do what you are doing, then you are pleasing God. We read in Isaiah 50, verses 20 and 21. This is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 5, and reading verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Verse 21. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes, and prudent in their own sight. Asking God brings light. Today many people think that asking God in great detail is evil, but this is how we escape evil. You can even ask God how to brush your teeth correctly, if this is important. If you acknowledge God to the level of detail you need to now, you will hear the next thing you need to hear clearly as well. You do not have the authority to decide something is not important. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 to 14. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm reading verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he stands take heed lest he fall. Verse 13. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Verse 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 3, on Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 13, on As Your Foundations Deepen, on page 122, Joseph Edgecott writes, pressure is good for you. You may be tempted to take over lordship and depressurize a difficult situation. However, if you are determined to stand on what God says, His grace will give you the strength you need. Every believer's spiritual foundation can handle pressure to a certain point. If you can handle 1,000 units of pressure, He does not assign you 1,500 units of pressure. If you are stubborn and insist that you can handle more than He requires, He may allow you to fail as part of your training. You will leak, but He will show you how and why you leaked. As you learn from the situation, he will then open another door with the same amount of pressure. Because you have been strengthened and trained, you'll be able to handle it. You can endure pressure with contentment when you trust God. He will not allow you to be tried beyond what you're able to endure, but he will make a way of escape. You will fall from grace by thinking you do not need to hear his voice all the time. God has not removed the devil, so if you stop listening to God, you will be tempted. The devil is now on a leash, so you can learn from your mistakes. When you are following Christ and take over the Lordship, it is only because you want something for the sake of your flesh. An idol is anything that you are venerating above God and his rightly divided word of truth. God will make a way of escape, so you do not have to serve idols. In complicated situations, maintain your communication by seeking righteousness, and you will hear the way of escape he provides. By making decisions, you are proud and heading for a fall. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 5, I'm reading verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Verse 2. For when, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, on a become such as have need of milk, not of strong meat. Grace is there for you to learn from your mistakes. Hear and do what God is saying when you're facing a trial. You'll grow quickly if you use the grace to remove the hindrances to your faith in God and teach others. You'll go backwards to a lower level of pressure and not forwards if you listen to your flesh. You will always need the milk of God's word and be convicted again and again of the same issues. Without lowliness of mind, you'll become dull of hearing and unfaithful. Jesus said in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 10. I'm reading Luke's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Learn to hear God in the basic things like food and clothes consistently first. Bigger doors will open up when you hear and obey consistently. On the narrow way, you will need his grace as trials increase. Jesus taught in Matthew 6, verses 9 to 11. This is Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Verse 10, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Verse 11, Give us this day our daily bread. You do not have to ask God about everything in great detail. If you stay on the narrow way and seek his perfect will, then he will provide what you need his way by the Spirit. It is a confirmation we are in the Spirit when he answers our prayers. So keep listening. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm reading verse 10. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. The word pleasure in Strong's is number 2106. It comes from some other words which means to think well of, that is to approve. Specifically, to approbate a person or thing. Think good, be well, pleased, or take pleasure or be willing. The word strong in Strong's is number 1415. It comes from another word which means powerful or capable, literally or figuratively, possible, able. That is mighty, possible, powerful, or strong. To do the will of God, remain weak in all things and rely on his Spirit. Paul was not afraid to experience trials similar to Christ and overcome them. If he failed under a little pressure, this gave him time to learn and make the necessary changes through repentance. Paul was always strong and ready for the next level because he was working on his foundation. He looked forward to trials and difficulties on the narrow way to test what he had learned and see if it would hold under pressure. Paul also wrote in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. This is Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 13. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Verse 14. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Your faith in God is like a muscle and will exercise your senses when you use it to follow Christ. Use your faith to hear God in the small things and it will be toned and strengthened. Using your mind to discern good and evil in an area is a sign your faith is weak. You should be asking God effortlessly if you are living by faith. Paul continued in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. This is Hebrews chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Verse 2. Of the doctrine of baptism and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Verse 3. And this we will do, if God permit. You cannot grow spiritually without repentance from dead works. If you have not received the Spirit through confessing your sins, it's possible you only repented of bad works. A bad work is just the tip of the iceberg, floating in icy waters. A dead work is any work that you do without asking God. He knows you need the Holy Spirit to repent of dead works. Jesus said in Luke 11 and verse 13. This is Luke chapter 11, I'm reading verse 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? What you spend your money on every day can also be dead works. Joseph Hedgecock, the author of the book My Sheep Hear My Voice, would always say there was nothing in his home that he went out and purchased just because he liked and wanted it. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 2, verses 8, I'm reading to verse 12. This is Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Verse 9. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Verse 10. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Verse 11. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, where also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. The circumcision of Christ is denying self and taking up your cross daily. To stop following Christ, you have to decide that you know better than Christ. You might be tempted to even make rules for the sake of your flesh, rather than just ask God everything. We read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, verses 42 to 44. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, starting in verse 42. And Jesus said unto them, did ye never read in the Scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Verse 43. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. Verse 44. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. You need to trust God with all your heart, not part of it. This can be settled through a life-threatening situation that wakes you up. Instead of being broken, the rock falls on you. Peter was speaking in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. This is in the book of Acts, chapter 2, I'm reading verse 20. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. Verse 21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. when grace has run out, he will deliver those who cry out to be saved at the very end. You will realize at that time you have wasted your time doing dead religious works. Christianity is not just another religion, but a relationship with God. Those broken and humble seek God's perfect will daily by faith, starting with the small things. The kingdom was given to the Jews and taken away from them because they did not repent of dead works. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 14, verses 17 to 19. This is in the book of Romans chapter 14. I'm reading verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Verse 18. For he that in these things serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. His kingdom is now given to those who are led by the Spirit. When you repent of dead works, you will have peace and joy. Your life trusting God will edify others on the narrow way. If you lose your peace, you have also taken over the lordship and come out of the kingdom. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. This is in the book of Galatians chapter 6. I'm starting in verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Verse 8. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You will reap what you sow. The devil is trying to make the church comfortable, serving two masters. Do not rely on anything you have been given like the Jews, but by faith. Use grace and truth to keep repenting. Use a sin list so that you can see any sin that reappears due to pressure on the narrow way. We read in Romans 8, 14. This is in the book of Romans, chapter 8. I'm reading verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You were called to be sons of God, not just mere babes. If you are not willing to ask God everything, how will you ever be led and controlled by the Spirit? Doubts, fears, and unbelief are removed by experience, obeying God at lower levels of pressure first. You will experience through instant obedience his care and have a security that you never had before. Jesus said in John 15, verse 1, I'm reading to verse 5. This is John's Gospel, chapter 15. I'm reading verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Verse 2. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Verse 3. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Verse 5. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. And he that abides in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. You should be convinced that without God you can do nothing of eternal value. He is your heavenly Father and knows the end from the beginning. He knows when it's time to produce more fruit with less effort. The fruit produced under a lower level of pressure has to be removed to make way for a better quality and quantity of fruit. It's the same fruit but produced at a higher level of pressure. Hearing God at just lower levels is choosing ignorance. The fruit of the Spirit in abundance in complicated situations is evidence that someone is led and controlled by the Spirit. The only reason that fruit is not produced is because of a lack of humility or lowliness of mind. We read in Acts chapter 14, verses 19 to 22. This is in the book of Acts chapter 14. I'm reading verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Verse 20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Verse 21, and when he had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch. Verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Acts 14:22 says, establishing and strengthening the souls of and the hearts of the disciples, urging and warning and encouraging them to stand firm in the faith, and telling them that it is through many hardships and tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. Paul had to confirm that all those people in his party were really disciples after he was stoned in Lystra. Some had become weak through persecution, and it's possible someone even betrayed him. Paul got up on his own while the disciples stood around him. He asked the Lord what he wanted him to do. He did not stop for rest. He even went to Lystra and then Iconium and Antioch, places where he was thought to be dead. His reappearance was an opportunity to preach repentance from dead works and faith towards God. He did not want to waste any opportunity to testify to those that had stoned him earlier. We read this testimony about Paul in Acts chapter 20, verses 17 to 19. This is Acts chapter 20. I'm reading verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Verse 18. And when they had come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. Verse 19. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Paul gave important instructions in person to the leaders of Ephesus, and this included how he'd overcome with a humble mind. Paul was not serving the religious and political issues at the time as they were in Ephesus. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verses 3 to 7. I'm reading 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Verse 4, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Verse 5, now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. Verse 6, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside into vain jangling. Verse 7, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. Ephesus was an emerging city. When Paul moved on to Macedonia, he left Timothy to help the embattled church in Ephesus to stop the advancement of false teaching. In the face of money and power, a lack of godly fruit reveals who is walking in the truth. His grace is sufficient if you're humble. Extra challenges God allows ensures that you enter the kingdom of God with the right motive and the right attitude. At the beginning, you might be broken like Peter after denying the Lord three times, but later go further in a shorter period of time, trusting God like a little child. Jesus was speaking in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, verses 3 and 4. This is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, I'm reading verse 3. And said, verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Matthew 18 and verse 4 says, whoever will humble himself therefore and become like this little child, trusting, lowly, loving, forgiving, is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. This is a testimony I was given. A small child, 1 year old or less, knows that he needs mummy. He knows exactly that he can't do anything without his mum or dad. Small children do not have the ability to look after themselves. They do not think about being independent or try to understand. As soon as something is new or out of the ordinary, they go straight to mummy or look to mummy for security. They know they can't do anything without their mum, so they stay close to her and always look for eye contact if she's a bit far away. A toddler forgets so quickly, holds no grudges in his heart when mum says no or corrects bad behaviour, and is always happy to see mum. It is this totally dependent and vulnerable heart that God has told me he wants every one of his children to have. For me personally, it's being dependent. I've recognized that I don't actually know anything at all. The truth is so profound that what I think I know now isn't even worth being called proper knowledge. It is Jesus who holds me and sustains me, and that I am really nothing without him. I can do nothing. In fact, I'm just a witness to what he does. Now is the time to enter the kingdom of God. You will have to become like a little child to enter the kingdom of heaven before time runs out. James says in James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. This is James chapter 1, I'm reading verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Verse 20, for the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Children, when they do not get what they want, get angry or frustrated. You should be seeking righteousness if you want to hear the steps he is directing consistently. Be quick to listen and obey, and slow to speak. Those with the confidence in the flesh talk too much and get angry. They also believe it's hard following Christ on the narrow way. Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 30. This is John's Gospel, chapter 5, I'm reading verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. In the book My Sheep Hear My Voice, 2021 edition, in chapter 9, on Trees in the Garden, on page 103, Joseph Hitchcock writes, when you are humble, the Lord controls your life. You submit to him wholeheartedly and give him glory and honor for what he does in and through you. You stop following Christ whenever you consult your own will, because Jesus never did this. To consult your own will, you have to use your mind. James also wrote in James chapter 4 and verse 6. This is James chapter 4 and I'm reading verse 6. But he gives more grace. Wherefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. The word humble in Strong's is number 5011. It's of a uncertain derivation, depressed, that is figuratively humiliated in circumstances or disposition, base or cast down, humble or of low degree or estate or lowly. In the book My Sheep and My Voice, 2021 edition, in chapter 9, Trees in the Garden, on page 103, Joseph Hitchcock writes, do you find yourself resisting God's work in your life? Do you lack grace? Are you spiritually frustrated? If the answer to these questions is yes, God is resisting your pride. Humility is the opposite of pride. Pride exalts you. Humility exalts God. The trunk of the tree of life is unselfishness. 1 Corinthians 13:5b says, charity seeks not her own. When you have Christ's love in your heart, you do not seek your own preferences or desires. You happily serve the Lord and others. You should know you do not have all the information to make any decision. Only God knows what is best. He knows the calling on your life. He can see the end from the beginning. Thinking will hinder you from hearing his instructions you need through the Spirit. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5, I'm reading to verse 11. This is 1 Peter 5, starting in verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, and gives grace to the humble. Verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Verse 10. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Verse 11. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The word humility in verse 5 is also translated as lowliness of mind elsewhere in the New Testament. Those serving two masters for the sake of their flesh are not vigilant and becoming proud. They fall for the devil's trap and come outside their spiritual covering. They start seeking God's permissible will. Those seeking his perfect will have consistent power by denying themselves and taking up their cross daily. There is no other way to follow Christ. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. This is in the book of Romans chapter 8. I'm reading verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Those making decisions with their mind are blind to the consequences in eternity for not following Christ and fulfilling their destiny. We get our comfort from obeying the Spirit, not from using earthly wisdom. James wrote in James chapter 3, verses 15, I'm reading to verse 18. This is James chapter 3. Starting in verse 15, this wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Verse 16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Verse 17, but when the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Verse 18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, James 3 and verse 17 says, but the wisdom of above is first of all pure, undefiled. Then it is peace-loving, courteous, considerate, gentle. It is willing to yield to reason, full of compassion and good fruits. It is wholehearted and straightforward, impartial and unfeigned. Free from doubts, wavering, and insecurity. Keep your thoughts under control, as those who think too much stagger and doubt God's ways. Any decision without asking God creates pressure to solve life's problems with more of man's wisdom. Man's wisdom is addictive and devilish because it makes someone serving sin comfortable. There is no way back for mankind without receiving the Spirit and changing the way that decisions are made. Those with a lowliness of mind know that only God's wisdom is good and healthy for the soul. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 7, verses 14 and reading to verse 25. This is Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not, for what I would, that do I not. But that what I hate, that I do. Verse 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Verse 17. Now then, it is no more that I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. Verse 19. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil that would I not, that I do. Verse 20. Now if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Verse 21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Verse 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Verse 23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity, the law of sin, which is in my members. Verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. At salvation, you should have been convinced there is nothing good in you. With his mind, Paul could appreciate the demands of the law, discern that the law was spiritual, but not obey because of the flesh. A lack of pure love in the hearts of everyone is the reason there is a lot of unnecessary suffering in the world today. The only solution to this world's problems is for everyone to make Jesus Lord in every country by the Spirit. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 3, verses 24 to 26. This is in the book of Galatians chapter 3. I'm reading verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Verse 25. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Verse 26. For you are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. The purpose of the law is to bring us to Christ through conviction. Those in the church who do not learn the life of faith through repentance from dead works cannot teach or help others. Paul wrote to Titus in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 15. This is Titus chapter 2. I'm reading verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Verse 15. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. God has a classroom. Those who keep doing what they want when they want still need a school teacher. The Holy Spirit is now the schoolmaster, bringing more conviction to his elect so that they can pass on truth to others through repentance. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. This is Hebrews chapter 4. I'm starting in verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus had no advantage over us. Our profession is that Jesus Christ, with lowliness of mind, came in the flesh and never sinned. We believe Christ stripped himself of all his authority and got his power from doing the perfect will of God through obedience to the Spirit. Sin is anything that is contrary to God's perfect will for your life in thought, purpose, or action. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28. This is John chapter 10, I'm reading verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now is the perfect time to hear his voice clearly as this world is passing away. The wisdom of this world will no longer solve the problems without compromise. If you do not hear his voice, you will perish or become condemned with the world. God will resist those who are still making decisions with their mind. Only those who hear, get to know, and follow Christ will not be plucked out of his hand in the last days. Jesus continued in John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 29 and 30. This is John's Gospel, chapter 10, I'm reading verse 29. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Verse 30, I and my Father are one. Sin is abounding, but grace is much more abounding for the sake of his bride in these last days. In the flesh, there is no protection or safety from the devil. You can experience being one with him now and get the protection from being in his hand when you consistently obey the Spirit. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:18, I'm reading to verse 21. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. His kingdom is here now, by the Spirit. God is in control and uses everything for those getting ready for his appearing. God wants ambassadors who know his perfect will and commands. He cannot use those not yet reconciled and asking God everything by the Spirit. God gave the ministry of reconciliation to the Jews, but they failed. The law was designed to lead them to Christ and get answers they needed. The Jews created rules instead to make it easier on their flesh, so they could still be lord of their own lives. Because the blood of animals could not remove the sin, they had to learn from their mistakes and could not afford to make the same mistakes twice. They were to seek a solution and rely on God's grace and mercy. How, when Jesus brought grace and truth, the religious Jews killed him. Those convicted of bad works with grace and truth today can get to the root of sin if they do not resist the Holy Spirit. If you humble yourselves now, you will get the grace you need to repent deeply. The Jews had to believe in God's loving kindness and repent. Disciples in the church using the gift of eternal life and the Holy Spirit get to the root of sin. If your life is changing, you also have the ministry of reconciliation. You cannot help anyone else unless you are reconciled to God and stop making excuses for sin. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 21. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, I'm reading verse 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Churches that make excuses for using their own mind to make decisions for the sake of their flesh are not following Christ. Those who do the perfect will of God by faith will not be left behind. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is in the book of Romans chapter 12. I'm reading verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God is not interested in the church bringing another sacrifice of praise. He wants the church to become a living sacrifice instead. Those on the narrow way learn how to do the perfect will of God in complicated situations by grace. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm reading verse 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. You should rely on the knowledge God provides through conviction and the witness of the Spirit. Enter the kingdom of heaven by humbling yourself and do the perfect will of God consistently in your own life by seeking righteousness. God promised in Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 3. I'm reading the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. I'm reading verse 1. Lo, everyone that's thirsty, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Verse 2. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Verse 3. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, 2016 reprint version, in Chapter 4, On Understanding and Enjoying Your Salvation, on pages 69 and 70, Joseph Edgecott writes, all you have to do is listen and obey. Everything else is his responsibility. Stop helping God. If your spiritual life is not working, you are helping in some way. Remember this quote from Arthur Burt in Pebbles to Slay Goliath. If you help God a lot, he can do a little. If you only help him a little, he can do a lot. But if you don't help him at all, he can do anything. Let go and let God. When you do good works or obey the truths you receive from God in your spiritualized flesh, you are trying to help him. Your good works may look spiritual, but they will not produce intimacy with God. You should be doing good works because you have a relationship with him. You do the works he directs because you love him, not to get something from him. Those hungry and thirsty eventually come to their senses and realize they need to change. They finally seek God what to do. When you are born again, you have two operating systems. One is the flesh and the other is the spirit. In the spirit, your mind is still and God drops thoughts in your mind. When you are in right standing with him, you just need to listen, trust, and obey. God's everlasting covenant is available for those who incline their ear to hear and do his perfect will. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verses 8, I'm reading to verse 10. This is in the book of Romans chapter 8. I'm reading verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Verse 10. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Through the carnal nature, you will always live in darkness and serve the devil. Christ will be formed in you, but only as you obey the Spirit. If you resist the Holy Spirit by getting in the flesh, he will be in you but not dwell in you until you repent of dead works. The new operating system is based on Christ making the decisions by the Spirit, not you. You will experience different manifestations of the Spirit if Christ dwells in you. Your body becomes dead or weak only after obeying the Spirit consistently. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 to 22. This is Revelation chapter 3, I'm reading verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Verse 21. To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. Verse 22. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Stop listening to your earthly needs and overcome the lusts of the flesh. The knocking sound in the last days can be hardships from making the wrong decisions. God can even use wars and price increases in these last days. You will have no regrets following Christ. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. I'm reading Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Verse 4. For he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. Verse 5. And in this place again, if thou shalt enter into my rest. Verse 6. Seeing therefore it remains that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. There is a rest for the people of God following Christ. The good news is by being born again, you have a heavenly Father through what Jesus has done. He will provide things you need and not compromise on your heavenly calling. Those who have hardened their heart to conviction do not want to believe the flesh is completely corrupt. They keep trying to understand spiritual things with their mind and are full of unbelief. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 26 and 27. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm reading verse 26. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight. I not as one that beats the air. Verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. You can still become a castaway even if you are born again. Our fight is not with the devil. The devil picks on those who have a confidence in the flesh and do not know how to fight. Your fight is with yourself to stay on the narrow way and not use your mind to make decisions. If you cannot hear God, then you have decided earlier something is not important because you have your own opinions or preferences. Paul also wrote in Romans chapter 6, verses 17 to 19. This is Romans chapter 6. I'm reading verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Verse 18. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness, unto holiness. If you are yielding your mind to God, you will be righteous. If you use it to make decisions, you will not. Anything that you yield to becomes stronger over time. Anything you do not serve becomes weak or dies. If the flesh is not dead, you are still carnal and you're using your mind. If you yield to the Spirit and obey, doing instantly what God wants, your body can then function as he intended and experience a glorious life on the narrow way. Jesus said in Luke 9, 23 to 25. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, I'm reading verse 23. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Verse 24. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake the same shall save it. Verse 25. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself, or be a castaway? You have to believe lies if you are still trying to save your own soul. Your priorities are wrong. You become a castaway seeking the temporal things, but you get eternal things by seeking to do nothing to save yourself, following Christ. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1, I'm reading to verse, all the way to verse 20. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 to 20. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Verse 4. Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds by Christ. Verse 6. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted is for your consolation and salvation. Verse 7. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye also be of the consolation. Verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, in so much we despaired even of life. Verse 9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. Verse 17. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness, or the things that I purpose? Do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay? Verse 18. But as God is true, our word towards you was not yea and nay. Verse 19. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me, and Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yea and nay, but in him was yes. Verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. All the promises of God are yes in Christ, but you have to abide despite changes in your circumstances due to sin. The Corinthians had sinned and were reaping the consequences. In Christ you will go through some suffering and trouble, but only if it's really important. Paul was despairing of life itself, but this was because he refused money from Corinth when they were carnal. At the same time, God provided through other churches where Paul was speaking the truth. The Corinthians needed to repent deeply. They wanted the promises, but they had to abide and not come out of Christ for the sake of earthly gain. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. This is Galatians chapter 6, I'm reading verse 5. For every man shall bear his own burden. Verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Spiritual lessons you learn bearing your burden personally will help others. Those things that solve your financial matters with unrighteous mammon are always wrong. If you ask God everything, you will not make mistakes. And work hard with your hands if necessary. There is no way back to the life you had before using your mind to make decisions for the sake of your flesh. His grace is sufficient on the narrow way. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 9. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm reading verse 7. "And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Verse 8. "For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me." Verse 9. "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, and for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Anyone can be exalted above measure. There are different levels of pressure on the narrow way. At each level, you need to hear God and obey instantly. If you get too much knowledge for any reason, you'll get puffed up. To avoid this, you need to be a doer of the word. Those using their minds to study the Bible get puffed up if they lack an opportunity to obey with some pressure. Paul was given a thorn in the flesh to keep him humble when he got too much knowledge. Knowledge must be balanced with wisdom. Because of his calling, Paul was given a demonic spirit that could rub him intensely when he got puffed up in his mind. In this situation, he tried to pray and get rid of it, and discovered by grace that he could be strong all the time without such prayers. God said in Isaiah 55, verses 8, I'm reading to verse 11. This is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, I'm reading verse 8. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord." Verse 9. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Verse 10. "For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and returns not again, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater." Verse 11. "So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing wherewith I sent it." Nothing can hinder his word. Those following Christ will win. Not everyone is paying a price to follow Christ today, and they will lose unless they repent of dead works. The grace of God is sufficient for all those who become weak for the sake of doing God's perfect will. You may have something unpleasant reoccurring in your own life when you get in the flesh. The majority that can hear God at just a low level of pressure quickly fall asleep in the darkness when persecution or trouble starts. Only when their life is comfortable they can hear something. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 29. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, I'm reading verse 24. "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." Verse 25. "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." Verse 26. "And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand." Verse 27. "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Verse 28. "And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine." Verse 29. "For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." The wise person is building on the right foundation. Those who are building on the sand seek God's permissible will. Those joining the church today that have not repented of their works are often asking, as a Christian, "Can I do this or can I do that?" They should be seeking his perfect will if they want to build on the rock. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 to 5, This is in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, I'm reading verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Verse 2. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Verse 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help these women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. The word yoke fellow in Strong's is number 805. It comes from another word which means co-yoke, that is, figuratively as a noun, a colleague, probably rather as a proper name, a Christian or yoke fellow. Someone yoked to Christ is a Christian. They are betrothed to Christ, Christ-like, and have the fruits of Christ. They're not a rug for everyone else to walk on, but they serve for Christ's sake. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. This is Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. I'm reading. He that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Verse 6. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Your name may be in the Lamb's book of life now, but it can be blotted out. The Lamb's book of life records all those who have lost something in this world following Christ, serving the gospel. Faith without works is dead. Having your name in this book is the evidence of eternal salvation, that you're a living sacrifice and your life belongs to Christ. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 26. I'm reading Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Verse 23, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Verse 26, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. It's not enough to just be in the Spirit. Paul said, walk in the Spirit. Those who always ask God before doing anything have repented of dead works and are not desiring vainglory. Paul was too busy making disciples to run after ministry opportunities. He was called to those with a heart after God. He did not want to provoke anyone solving situations in an ungodly manner. Paul wrote in Galatians 5, verses 15 and 16. This is Galatians chapter 5, I'm reading verse 15. If you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you have not changed operating systems, then you will end up taking from others rather than being a blessing. When the flesh complains, or you don't understand something for the sake of your flesh, now is the time to purify your faith before time runs out. Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The grace is sufficient for you to progress from one level of pressure to the next. Paul was living on the narrow way and made it look easy. It was not easy in the natural, but because he was yoked to Christ, he had God's strength. animals are yoked together so that the younger animal with a lot of energy learns how to trust and obey. A yoke is placed around the neck so that it only is comfortable in one position. Any attempt to go in another direction causes pain. Paul explained how to get a spiritual education in complicated situations by staying humble and communicating with the Lord about all things. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hitchcock. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow way, sow in the Spirit daily, experience full salvation and freedom through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time's Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hitchcock. If you want to grow up spiritually, not be earthly minded, and come to maturity, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time's Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hitchcock. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity based on religious dead works, where you do not have to deny yourself daily and take up your cross. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow way. The broad way that leads to destruction looks good. It is signposted, heaven this way. And many well-meaning, good people attending church are on the broad road. If you know that you've resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book, The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hitchcock. Today I've shared with you a message about lowliness of mind. It's a simple act, and as you take that humility of mind that you need, you're going to enjoy the blessed life. God is going to assist you. He's not going to resist you. He's going to provide. You're going to experience His grace in levels you could not imagine. And as that change takes place in your life, as you learn to trust and obey, that grace will abound. And you'll go from one lesson to the next. You won't even notice the pressure increasing because you're so busy listening to God, obeying God, loving God. And you just are enjoying His provision. We have no idea what Christ has prepared for us, but we know that grace is abounding for those who really are trusting Him in these last days. Let me pray with you right now. If this is the kind of life that you want, it's available for you. Father, I pray for those who are listening that they will humble themselves. They will admit that they've been doing dead work, dead religious works that are not of You. And they've been putting on an act, but really inside they're struggling. And Father, I pray for them that they will be yoked to Christ, that they will be prepared for what is ahead with that yoke around their neck. And they will look forward to those complicated situations that will train them and equip them so they'll be ready for anything. I pray that in Jesus' name. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. I would love to hear from you. God bless you, and thank you for listening.